listening to Get Sports Radio.
Episode number 46. It is the Wild Cards. It's Wild Card Weekend, and we're here to get you ready for all your playoff fantasy challenges, update you on the latest coaching changes, and of course, make some predictions for Wild Card Weekend. We're going to go ahead and predict out the entire playoffs. I'm going to make my Super Bowl prediction before we're said and done. I am your host, Dan Claskins. If this is the first time you've listened to the podcast, well, thanks for joining us. If you're a regular, always love having you back. And man, you can follow me on Twitter, at Dan Claskins. Get my blog, the podcast, everything you need around it at GetSportsInfo.com. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and of course, iTunes. Leave us your reviews, good or bad. We love the feedback, and we're transitioning into that off-season mode. We're going to still do weekly podcasts all the way through the Super Bowl, and then, you know, gear up for free agency. We got NFL draft, and as the summer gets going, dive back into a pretty regular and steady flow of podcasts. But we're not going away. This is the one place a year I do not get silenced. My SiriusXM show will be doing our final show of the season, a Fantastics Insider Football, on Saturday, tomorrow. So I think that's going to be a little sad to go, but we'll turn it over to the baseball guys. We'll be back next July, God willing, and hopefully that comes to light. You can, of course, always get my fantasy football content, articles, rankings, everything, year-round, including some of my biggest surprises team by team in the AFC and the NFC in the next 2 weeks. Pro Football Focus, the home for my fantasy content there, and get my fantasy playoff rankings at both Pro Football Focus and GetSportsInfo.com, the home there. And I encourage you to sign up for the GSI Playoff Fantasy Challenge. It's $20 an entry, 3-entry max. Top 5 get paid some nice cash prizes. Plus, on top of that, we're giving away a 2018 entry into the KFFFC main event. So check it out now. Go there, GetSportsInfo.com. Look for the Playoff Fantasy Challenge. You must sign up before Saturday. And right now, nice little overlay going on in this contest. Guaranteed payouts to the top 5. Check it out. And we encourage you to play along. Play against me and some of my other fantasy friends. Let's get into some conversation here and update you on some news or notes. Man, my mind is really going all over the place. Last night, I actually did a playoff draft I do each year, our GSI playoff draft eight-teamer. We did that at the exact same time I did my first 2018 mock draft. Yeah, that's right. I'm already mocking for 2018. This was the very first one. It was the SiriusXM host draft there and there with some of my friends and colleagues over at SiriusXM Fantasy. And it's always a good thing. I'm going to save some more of that for later in the month. You can hear that debut this weekend on SiriusXM. But I will say this. I picked seventh, and in my seventh spot, I was able to get Kareem Hunt fall to me there. And I'll be releasing my 2018 rankings here in the next week or so. Lots going on, transitioning in here, launching these playoff games and what have you. But needless to say, fantasy's far from over. We got some playoff football to dive into, and the NFL never really stops in its news flow. And that was certainly the case on Black Monday. And before we get into some of these playoff challenges and stuff, let's update you on some of the coaching changes, the coaches that are gone, some that have survived. And we'll, of course, dig way more into like the play callers and the coordinators and the changing landscape as things come to fruition. Right now, we're just focusing on head coach changes and updating you on the latest there in case you missed any of it. Let's start in the NFC, where Bruce Arians of the Cardinals announced his retirement on Monday. He wraps up his career as the winningest coach in franchise history, 50-32-1, including the playoffs. It's going to be interesting. Carson Palmer came out this week as well, announcing his retirement. We haven't heard from Larry Fitzgerald yet, but a changing of the guard in the desert. Meanwhile, in Chicago, John Fox fired after the Bears' third consecutive last-place finish in the division. That happened on Monday, and it looks like the general manager, though, Ryan Pace, his contract was extended through 2021, so he's going to get a chance to continue to build there. We'll see who comes in as the Bears' next head coach. Meanwhile, in Detroit, the Lions canned Jim Caldwell after 4 years with the team. And he had less than a year after he signed this extension. Caldwell gets the plug pulled on him. Of course, if the Lions win in Week 15 in Cincinnati, not only are they in the playoffs, but Caldwell, all likelihood, keeps his job. The New York Giants, they've hired their new general manager, Dave Gettleman. This obviously coming after they already had fired Ben McAdoo and previous GM Jerry Reese. So they are talking about interviewing Eagles defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz. He's expected to be a favorite for this job here, among others. So we'll see how that goes there. In the AFC, the fired coaches were only two. We thought it was going to be a little bit worse than that, but really it was just Jack Del Rio, fired after the Raiders' season-ending loss to the Chargers. Three-year tenure, disappointing 6-10 this year, a team that was so close a year ago. All indications are John Gruden's going to leave his nine-year hiatus from the coaching circles and leave that ESPN booth to become the next head coach. I expect that to come to fruition here in the coming days. Meanwhile, the Colts have fired Chuck Pagano after missing the playoffs for the third straight season. Pagano finishes his tenure in Indianapolis, a six-year run with a 53-45 mark. Let's look at some coaches that survive, maybe some surprises to you. And I'll start with the one that surprised and, I got to admit, disappointed me as a Bengal fan. The fact that despite earlier reports that Marvin Lewis planned to leave the Bengals after the season, the team announced on Tuesday it had signed Lewis to a two-year contract extension. This despite the fact that in his previous 15 seasons, he's gone just 0-7 in playoff games and 8-26 against the rival Steelers. And let's not even get into the primetime mark. I really, as a Bengal fan, appreciate what Marvin Lewis has done for the franchise, but I was really hoping they would turn the page. And I got to admit, until they do, I'm pretty much sort of done emotionally invested myself in that. And I get people have had some different opinions. Fans, oh, you're not a true fan. You know what? Everybody makes their own choices. This is my hometown team. I will always have a place for the Bengals' heart, but life's too short to stay in bad relationships. And until the franchise is willing to, you know, give in a little bit, compromise on some of the things that irritate me, yeah, I'm walking away, man. I'm 43 years old. I've been rooting for this team longer than a lot of you have been alive, since at my 7th birthday party around Super Bowl 16. And, you know, I mean, Marvin Lewis has done good things. I'm not going to say negative things about the guy as a man, but to me, he's proven he can't be that coach to get you to the next level. He got the Bengals to here. So I took some heat on Twitter this week when I posted a picture of me wearing a Vikings hat. That was really meant more as a joke, but you know, I've been supporting the Vikings since they hired the coach. I wish the Bengals would have appointed Mike Zimmer, who I believe will be coaching in the Super Bowl this season, something his former colleague Lewis never will. The Cleveland Browns, they rewarded Hugh Jackson, 0-16. You keep your job. How about that? As crazy as the Marvin Lewis scenario and his two-year extension seems after 15 years of not a playoff win, a coach that went 0-16 keeps his job. Team owner Jimmy Haslam confirmed that Jackson will indeed be the coach next season. The Dallas Cowboys, another team, big disappointment. But, hey, Jason Garrett, he's back for an 8th season, trying to figure that one out too. And Vance Joseph, he gets a vote of confidence coming back for the 2nd season. But, man, he may not be back for a 3rd if they don't pull it around soon. The Bucs retain Dirk Cutter. Bill O'Brien appears to be safe in Houston. And despite a 5-10 record, the Jets have signed Todd Bowles and general manager Mike McClanahan to contract extensions this week. And the Bucs, Dirk Cutter, back after a disappointing season. It appeared that Tampa Bay might make a run at Gruden themselves, but that not the case. There's going to be plenty more coaching changes, especially on the assistant and coordinator front. We'll keep you posted here, but not as bloody of a Black Monday as I was anticipating, but nonetheless, some changing of the guard around the league. Let's get into some playoff fantasy football. I talked about the GSI Playoff Fantasy Challenge. You can still sign up for that up till 4:30 kickoff on Saturday. Really, we're going to cut it off probably around 4 o'clock. I have to manually invite you, so don't wait till the last minute. If you're hearing the podcast and still have a chance to get in and want to play, do so ASAP. But you have the one and done is that type of game. You also have playoff drafts. I did one of those last night. Might try to squeeze me in another one. The strategy's simple. And let's start with the drafts. It really comes down to you making the picks that you think are going to win the games. It's sort of like filling out an NCAA bracket. That is how I always tell folks. You fill out the teams, pick who you're going to win each game and who's advancing. You got to try to figure out how many games each team is playing. So, to take you through my own predictions, and, you know, I hope you come up with your own. I basically went through game by game. The wild card weekend, I really expect all four favorites to advance. I mean, this weekend's game's not that great, honestly. We'll get into my predictions in a minute. But so really all four favorites advance. And if that's the case, it sets up a great divisional round where we would have New Orleans at Philadelphia, New England at Kansas City, Pittsburgh at Jacksonville, and Minnesota at the Rams. So let's start there. I think Minnesota beats the Rams and Minnesota next week. That's my impression. It's been a great year for the Rams. I think they'll get a playoff win, have something good to build off of, but I look for them to go down the divisional round. And I think New Orleans goes into Philadelphia without Carson Wentz and knocks them off, which would set up New Orleans Vikings NFC Championship game. I think the Vikings take the home field advantage there and stay at home for the Super Bowl. In the AFC, my predictions look like this. Kansas City, after they advance this week, would go to New England, where I don't think New England will lose twice in a row, two consecutive times here to the Patriots. Meanwhile, we've got Pittsburgh would then host Jacksonville. I think this will be one of the better games, and Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh pretty soundly earlier this season. This time around, though, Ben Roethlisberger, the home field, the playoff experience, I think it will be a different story. That said, we've got an AFC Championship, Pittsburgh at New England. And even though New England's own Roethlisberger and the Steelers, my hunch pick is the Steelers beat them this time around because I just don't think New England's been playing all that great. Especially, this is assuming Pittsburgh gets Antonio Brown back. With that said, my Super Bowl prediction has Minnesota and Pittsburgh, and I'm going to take the Vikings becoming the first team not only to play a Super Bowl in their home stadium, but winning one there as well. With that in mind, I was able to come up with the number of games teams played off my prediction, which is the next part of this strategy. Based off of the prediction I just made and all the games I picked, I've got the Steelers, the Vikings, and the Saints all playing three games. Conversely, I have the Patriots, the Rams, the Jaguars, and the Chiefs all playing two games. I think the Eagles only play one and lose. And all of this weekend's wild card losers, obviously Buffalo, Tennessee, Carolina, and the Falcons, one game each. Armed with this knowledge, I then figure out, okay, in these drafts where you draft a team and get points for as many games as you can, best ball type of scenarios, I put my focus on the teams I think are going to play the most. In this case, it's the Steelers, the Saints, and the Vikings that top my board. And give or take, the two team games, you figure out the ones that have a better percentage of maybe playing three. Bottom line is, the more games you think a team is going to play, the more valuable the players on that team become. I also encourage in these drafts to gobble up quarterbacks, kickers, and if you use them, defenses as well, because there's only one per team likely to get snaps. Running backs, receivers, and tight ends, there's often multiple options to consider. Hopefully that helps you if you're doing a draft. If you're doing the one-and-done style, similar to the one with the Get Sports Info Playoff Fantasy Challenge, well then, there's a lot of different ways to take it here. But in general, I would say in one-and-done, you want to try to use the best players that you think won't be around. So you want to try to find guys that could perform great, but on a losing team. Because once you use a player in this format, you can't use them again. Once again, the key is to focus on quarterbacks, kickers, and defenses, and be sure to save one no matter what. So in wildcard weekend, for instance, if you go with one of the NFC quarterbacks, keep going NFC each round until the Super Bowl, guaranteeing yourself, regardless of who wins, you'll have a quarterback, kicker, and defense to plug in. But at the same time, don't overthink it. You have to put points on the board. I often encourage people in these formats to go heavy early and just try to score the most points you possibly can and then go from there. In both formats, understand, this year is about as wide open as we've seen in many seasons in the NFL, so balance is probably not a bad idea either. Let's wrap up today's podcast by making some wild card weekend predictions and quickly looking at each game and telling you what I expect to happen. We'll start with the Saturday games, and we'll start with the very first game taking place at Arrowhead Stadium between the Tennessee Titans and the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs started the week as an 8-point favorite. It's gone up to 8.5 and even 9 in some casinos, but the totals hung around 44.5. I expect Kansas City to handle this Tennessee team pretty easily, honestly. It's been mostly disappointing watching the Titans this season. And going into Arrowhead is never something easy to do. So I look for them to attack Tennessee on the ground with Kareem Hunt and mix in the big playability of Tyreek Hill. That, along with Alex Smith's play and playoff experience, is enough for me to take him here. I will say this, though. I'm going 24-16 is my predicted score because I just don't think Kansas City will pull away in this game. That could leave the Titans as the only team, the only underdog that backdoors into a cover this week based off the way I see things. I'm not going to bet on the Titans. I'm not saying you should either. But I do think you should tread carefully, laying down a lot of money on the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs, the only way the Titans stay in this game is if Mariota can scramble around and make plays outside the pocket. He finished the season with just 13 touchdown passes, and we question how much he's been in there. I think Kansas City defense loves turnovers, and this year we've seen Mariota actually make turnovers, 15 interceptions. I think the Chiefs defense is a nice play here as well. After Kansas City takes care of business on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night we turn our attention to Los Angeles, where the Rams will host the defending NFC champion Atlanta Falcons. This game, too, has been interesting all week as it sits here today. The Rams are a 5.5-point favorite, and the total's at 48. The Rams are the highest-scoring team in the league, a year after being the league's lowest-scoring team in the league, and I don't think they'll have problems putting up points on the board in this one. The question is can their defense slow the Falcons? Atlanta is a team that has been a bit perplexing and has taken some time to adjust to their new play caller this season for sure, but I do think that, you know, looking at these two teams, I think the favorite here is the team to go. The favorite's 9-1 against the spread in their last 10 meetings in this series. And as I look down the list, I am concerned about some of the injuries. Devontae Freeman's probable now and has a knee issue, not really a big deal. And Julio's been questionable with that ankle all season. But for Los Angeles, they're pretty healthy. And I think the Rams will get a lot of play out of some key playmakers in this game. Nobody more key than Todd Gurley, who's on fire. In case you didn't hear it, the Rams running back, he put up the best week 14-16 scoring output by a player at his position in the history of the NFL. And that makes him a hot fantasy commodity here. I'm taking the Rams 31-24 over the Falcons. On Saturday, we'll have two decent games, but I think they might be blowout games on Sunday. And the biggest blowout game to me this week comes in Jacksonville. Buffalo, Shady McCoy, I mean, we're getting some more promising news here with him dealing with that knee issue. He's been actually limited in Friday's practice. That's an upgrade from previous in the week, but I'm not sure he's 100%. And Jacksonville's defense is just too much here. Buffalo is last in the league in rushing touchdowns allowed defensively, 29th in the league in rushing yards. Look for Leonard Fournette and company to run all over Buffalo and that defense to give Tyrod Taylor fits. I think Jacksonville wins 27-10. New Orleans and Carolina. This one's always interesting, and it's been a great season for the Saints. The Panthers, I've underestimated them all year, and I'll be the first to admit that, but looking at the two games they played against the Saints this year, we saw in week on December the 3rd, they actually won at New Orleans. They lost at New Orleans 21-31. Previously, in September, they lost at home to New Orleans 34-13. Beating a team's tough three times in 1 year. I think the Saints are up for the task here, though. Carolina's been pretty tough against the run of late, so the Saints will have to really rely on that running game to over-excel. I think Ingram will get his, but Kamara, probably a little more useful catching the ball out of the backfield. I think Drew Brees will be a sneaky play this week. Love me some Mike Thomas. And don't think that Ted Ginn Jr. might be thinking about getting a playoff revenge touchdown against his former foes. Cam Newton, he's had a great season. It's been a roller coaster of a season. I think this will be one of his games where he's more on the downside of that. They'll have a tough time doing much on the ground, so Newton will get a few counting stats. But in the end, I'm going to take the Saints 27-17. That's all the time I have for today. I sure have enjoyed talking playoff football. I'll be back next week to break down the divisional round. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, and you can get it anytime at GetSportsInfo.com. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dan Klaskins. Until next week, good luck and enjoy the games. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for listening in to another edition of the Get Sports Info Podcast.